Hello my dudes, and welcome to the best things about pro wrestling this month, where the show where we talk about some of the best things about pro wrestling this month. Could be a match, segment, character development, or anything in between. This is a show where we talk about some of the best things about pro wrestling in that particular month. I'm Omar, the same host whose hairline is receding at the speed of light. Yeah, sad emoji. And I'm only 22. Sucks being an adult. Anyways, to say that April was an eventful month is me not selling how eventful like April was. I mean, especially, it makes sense because it was, I mean, WrestleMania happened. I mean, ever since April 1st hit, like April Fool's Day, it was just like shit went down. Like WrestleMania, you know, ROH, and, you know, even AEW with their you know, usual bangers of matches, because, you know, you got to put an AEW match in every particular month, because, you know, usually AEW Dynamite and Rampage and, you know, even Dark Elevation, they usually put out some bangers. Like, you got, at least in my opinion, in my subjective, humble opinion, they always put out some bangers, because, again, it's AEW, they're always good, sometimes. I'm not talking about the particular debut that happened, you know, after Samoa Joe's match. We're gonna forget about that. But luckily, I have somebody to talk to about everything that happened in the month of April in terms of pro wrestling and the highlights. And that person is one of my good friends, Andrew Thompson of Post Wrestling. And, you know, we chatted about everything and everything that happened on this month, April. I don't know where I'm going with this, but you get my point. So here it is, my conversation with Andrew Thompson of postwrestling.com, talking about everything and everything that happened about pro wrestling this month in terms of our highlights. As I said on the intro earlier, I got a very, very, very special guest, a guy who who's been a supporter of mine, also, like, you've been with me to very start, and also I've been a fan of his for like a few years now, and I'm glad to call him like a friend and acquaintance. I'm here with Andrew Thompson of postwrestling.com, and he does all the transcripts, even some of the bad ones, which I'm not going to mention. So what's good, Andrew? How's it been, man?
What's going on, Omar? I appreciate you having me on the podcast, man. It's an honor. It's been great knowing you. You're doing a lot of great work. I'm glad to see that your site is improving and, you know, doing some good things, man. I'm proud of you.
Well, facts. That is true. I mean, I'm a freaking nobody, but I appreciate the compliment anyways. So speaking of wrestling and all other stuff that we were talking just a little bit earlier, I mean, you've been on Dallas. I mean, April was the month of WrestleMania, obviously, and you've been on Dallas, Texas. What is it like being on, you know, WrestleMania weekend and the festivities? And I'm curious, have you been on the WrestleMania, press junkets, or have you not been yet? So anyways, talk to me about, just briefly, about the WrestleMania festivities and stuff, because this has to be like a dream come true, not only for like fans for around the world, but also for like wrestling media folks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I haven't unfortunately been able to do the WrestleMania press junkets yet, but, you know, we'll get there one day. But overall, Dallas was a good time, man. It was cool seeing everybody that, you know, you interact with through social media and stuff like that. It was very cool seeing everybody in person. Everybody was real cool. Got the chance to get some good food in Dallas. Dallas had some of the best food that I've ever had in my life. and on the wrestling media side, being at the Collective weekend was where I did the majority of like my interviews and stuff. And it was very, very cool to be able to catch up with some of these wrestlers that I've interviewed before through Zoom. And, you know, to be able to catch up with them in person and stuff like that. They were all cool. Of course, got to do some interviews with some new people that I never met before either. Like I had recently caught up with Nick Wayne. That got signed to AEW. And, you know, he said he had to graduate high school first in order for the contract to go into effect, which is a funny little revelation right there. It was very cool being down there, especially seeing all the shows and stuff like that. The Collective was a great time. I didn't get a chance to make it to like some of the other shows that were near the Dallas Cowboys Stadium or, you know, within that, you know, radius and stuff like that. But mostly all the shows from that was at the Collective down at Fair Park. That's, you know, primarily where I was at. And, you know, WrestleMania was real cool, man. Like, that was my first WrestleMania. That was my first like WrestleMania weekend ever, being there. So yeah, it was cool being able to take that in. I'm glad I went the night one because that was the best night.
It was. So it was.
Glad I went the night one of WrestleMania, man. But yeah, overall the experience was cool, and yeah, I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, it is. It is a pretty good WrestleMania. Also, it was the month of the return of Samoa Joe, which I'll get into a little bit because it is in my highlights. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. So yeah, I mean, how do you feel about the month of April? I mean, obviously it kicked off with WrestleMania weekend, and then it kicked off with ROH. The return of ROH, and you know, obviously with sprinkling a little bit of AEW and their usual bangers. Like I said in the intro, we're not going to mention that debut because AEW is great. AEW supremacy forever. So how do you feel about the month of April, and how do you compare it to like the month, like the last month, which was March? Because I feel like March pretty much nothing happened. So like, how do you compare it to like the month of like March till April? And do you think that WrestleMania and the festivities played a huge role in how notable and eventful that, you know, month is pretty much?
So compared to other months, I think, you know, that this time period, like late March, going into early April, is always, you know, the craziest month of the year for like wrestling news and like just all this crazy stuff happening. And I mean, you have to somewhat credit the whole WrestleMania weekend, but I also think that, you know, independent promotions and stuff, they sort of making it into their own. Like, it's not true, just solely about that. Like, of course, you know, you want to go see what's happening, you know, as far as WrestleMania goes, but like I think that it's sort of, this tide is sort of starting to turn as far as like why people are coming down to these you know, to these WrestleMania weekends. Of course, you know, majority I would say people are coming to, you know, experience WrestleMania and stuff like that, but also there's a majority of people who just come down to see like the independent shows that's going on, to catch up with people who they wanted to interact with through social media. So I mean, I definitely think that is that is a key factor. But as far as compared to other months, or the last month, I mean, I feel like there's always something that's going on or something that's always going down in every month, but you could definitely count on that first week of April or whenever WrestleMania is taking place for it to be like just the craziest week for all this different stuff to happen. Cause then, especially as a news writer, like that's when all these wrestlers are doing press, you know. Sheesh. So it's so much stuff going on, so many different interviews, so many different podcasts, but yeah, I love it, man. I think wrestling media is in a good space right now with it so is. Many people doing so many different cool things.
Yeah, it is. I mean, doing the news writing thing, thank God, like I have only a job and a college thing, because I cannot do this news writing thing every single day. Just like typing in what's going on, going to like Wrestling Inc. or like Cage Side Seats or something, rumor roundabout and stuff. So it's like, it is a tough industry, especially when it comes to WrestleMania weekend. So, you know, I got to praise to all the, you know, writers, especially the ones with the cheeky headlines. I'm looking at you, Jeremy Lambert. So yeah, before we start into the podcast, I'm gonna put some honorable mentions, because a lot of things, like I said earlier, a lot of things that happened on, you know, some of the best things that happened in the month of April. So I gotta mention the honorable mention. The first thing is the NXT. Is it even a takeover show? I don't know if you call it a takeover show.
It's not a takeover. They took that off.
Yeah, I know, but like, it's just, I'm so used to calling it takeover. I'm just the NXT right. show with the Stand and Deliver, the North American ladder match. That was very, very cool. Obviously, FTR versus the Briscoes. That was a great match. Samoa Joe's return. I mean, obviously, Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship at night one of WrestleMania. So if you have three of the highlights, so Andrew, take us away. What is the first highlight of the month of April in your opinion?
I mean, I think it's a subjective thing, but yeah. I would say just because I was there in person, it was very cool seeing like the reaction that Bianca Belair got. Like when, because I asked a few people like who watched it from home, like what was the reaction like, you know, seeing it on screen and stuff, and like did it correlate to like what I was saying, and you know, as far as the crowd reaction goes, because it was when she got that three count, man, it was jumping in there, like people was going crazy, everybody was on their feet, like it seemed like true. The majority of people in there was like rooting for Bianca, and she had the, you know, the Texas Southern University HBCU band do her entrance, which is very, very cool. Bianca always putting on, I would say my second highlight of the weekend is probably getting to see that it was a multi-person tag match involving it was Team Laredo Kid versus Team Gringo Loco at the World on Lucha show for GCW, and that probably is like one of the craziest matches I've ever seen in my life. Like I was legit amazed, because I remember when I was sitting there watching it, I was charging my phone, and then like within the first 3 minutes, 4 minutes, like I'm seeing these dudes like flying around the ring. I had to go stand up and go watch this thing in full. And I swear I've never seen nothing like that in my life. Probably one of my favorite matches. So I was like when people do the end of the year stuff, I can always remember that one. You know, if I don't remember it all top. And I would say a third one. I probably throw the FTR Briscoes match in there, but I mean, I didn't get to see that in person, but
yeah,
included in the weekend, like, you know, yeah. that was a really great match, and they delivered. I'm sure it was a lot of pressure on them, because, you know, it was so much hype about like what they could do, and they, you know, they delivered, they followed through on it. So yeah, kudos to them. And I would say like an honorable mention, you know, just to go along with the theme of, you know, what you were saying, as far as honorable mention goes, I probably had to say, probably Cody's debut. That was cool.
Which and, I will talk like, about. They,
yeah. And yeah. So I'll save some of that. But like, it was it seemed like mostly everybody like within the audience, like in the section that was in, knew it was going to be Cody, but it was still like that anticipation of like waiting to see, was it actually going to be him or was it going to be somebody else? So they was going to try pulls like some, you know, WWE shit, like with Shane McMahon comes out and then we get Cody later on or something like that. But nah, man, they just straight up, you know, presented him as the American Nightmare. So that was cool, man. But yeah, that was probably some just some quick highlights. But it was a lot of stuff that weekend. Shit, you can even say WrestleCon. Like I love doing like the conventions and stuff, because you see so many different wrestlers and stuff like that. And you know, of course, trying to go over there and get interviews and stuff like that. So yeah, WrestleCon and these conventions, that's always a highlight for me.
Yeah. Speaking of historically black, we got the best things about pro wrestling in the month of April, and it's the person that you just mentioned like seconds ago. That person is Cody Rhodes and his return.
Jesus Christ.
and his match. It's not only his return, but I'll say his match with Seth Rollins was probably the best thing. I mean, obviously, it was, other than Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch, this was another highlight for WrestleMania Night 1. I mean, they just killed it. I mean, Cody Rhodes showed up with the theme song. I mean, it was just, it's so weird to hear his theme in WWE. It kind of felt like, oh, I'm so used to hearing you know, that's theme song in AEW. It's like, it's so weird hearing it on the WWE kind of bubble. And even like, if you looked at some of the segments he's been since then, you had like Cody Rhodes and The Miz was kind of mocking him about like, oh, this ain't a belt, this is a championship, or certain things like that. And, you know, I think Cody Rhodes, I think his return made a huge mark in terms of that night. We'll see what happens if he made a mark in terms of the overall arc within like the next like few months or something, because it's, you know, he's only been there for like 3 weeks ish. I mean, at the end of which, by the way, April has been like the fastest month ever since like February. It just quickly so yeah, like his matches with Seth, I mean, calling him like you're in the big leagues now, I mean, that would piss off some people. But you know, I like that match. I mean, what do you think about, you know, I mean, you said like his match, the return was pretty awesome, but what do you think about specifically his match with Seth Rollins? Do you think like it was the highlight of WrestleMania Night 1, or like WrestleMania in general, or you thought that maybe Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch was better, or like any other match? I mean, Stone Cold and Kevin Owens, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, so you got to consider it a highlight, because I mean, they came out there and they delivered with like like just going back on the interest real quick, and you know, the presentation of like American Nightmare, I feel like that was the key piece to it all. Like, he needed to come into WWE as, you know, as himself. And you know, he said it in the interview or in the post WrestleMania scrum, where he was like, you know, Vince McMahon basically told him like, you know, we don't need to change anything, because we, you know, we're bang the American Nightmare, like, so we're not going to sit here and change, you know, what doesn't need to be changed. And like, that's a
very rare
right there. So yeah, very, very rare. So, Cody, for him to have that big debut, and then within that, you get the crowd reaction, you get the big pop, you get all that. But then at the same time, now you got to go out here and wrestle. Like, so it's I think that's a whole different type of like pressure and different ball game. But him and Seth went out there and delivered, man. Like, I know there are a lot of people who not like big fans of Seth Rollins, and like, I mean, I think I can see.
I want to fight all of you who think Seth Rollins sucks, but continue.
I think that they some people are not amused or like entertained by his character, like they don't understand like what he's supposed to be and stuff like that. But like, I think with character stuff, I try to be like try to understand people's perspective, because I know it's certain stuff that
true
people like in wrestling that I don't like, especially like as far as characters and stuff goes with certain wrestlers and what like is the in-ring work is concerned. But with Seth, like, I don't think there's no doubt about it. Like, Seth Rollins is a great wrestler. Like, I don't know how anybody could say that he's not a great wrestler. Like, he really is. And even if people do feel like that, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have a successful school if he was a bad wrestler. And I'm pretty sure the wrestlers that he put out there, like Front Man Jossie and Nathan Frazier, and you know, an abundance of other people that he's, you know, helped pushed out there, I'm pretty sure they would be the shits too if he was a shitty coach. I think him and Cody delivered. I'm interested to see what they're going to do at WrestleMania Backlash to try to follow up on that. Like, as far as like what should happen after that, I definitely think they should keep the ball rolling with Cody. Like, I think the smart thing to do was to like just get Seth Rollins, so like maybe one or two, because WrestleMania Backlash is next weekend as we're recording this. I think I think the best thing would be is to have Seth Rollins get like a good TV win, just to, you know, because I do think that he'll end up losing to Cody, so losing to Cody again, and that'll sort of propel Cody to whatever is next. But yeah, man, I think the match was good. It was an entertaining match. You know, they had all the little moments in there, the buckle bomb when he power bombed to the outside on the barricade, and you know, he gave him the whole welcome to the big leagues, bitch, and all that type stuff. And you know, Cody did the cartwheel into the star. But I was like, as far as like WrestleMania is concerned, is Bianca and Rollins, because I had the surprise factor and you know, all that good stuff. So yeah,
goddamn, some people just don't like the drippy Jesus on him, bro. Like that drip,
the trippy.
I mean, come on.
I think that people find like from what I say, I think people find him I guess annoying, like they don't get it. But I could understand like why people may feel like that, but like more so my thing is like I've seen this take that he's not a good wrestler, and like that's the take that sort of confuses me a little bit. I'm like, he's not a good wrestler. Like, Seth Rollins is a great wrestler, but I get the character thing, because that's subjective. And I mean, calling somebody a good or great wrestler is subjective too. But also at the same time, I feel like there's certain people within wrestling where you just like, come on now, like they're not bad in the ring. Like that's a blatant lie. Like, and I think that, you know, as far as the character stuff goes, like I can understand why some people may not be interested and some people may be interested. But me personally, I think Seth Rollins is doing some great work right now. I think he has been doing some great work. I like the Monday Night Messiah stuff. So
yeah, that's
like,
true.
I think he's doing a good job, bro. He's doing a good job.
I would argue I actually didn't mind his babyface run for the Universal Championship when he was a Universal title.
I was about to say, just to add on to your point, what you were just saying, that whole thing went left when the Fiend stuff happened.
Yeah,
like doing like the whole open title thing or whatever like that. I think he was doing that. He had a really good baby face run that led up to him winning the Universal title. But like, that whole thing went left when they decided to do that stuff with the Fiend. Like that. Yeah. That's when shit went off the rails, and like he got affected by that. I never understood with that. Like when they, for I think it was, I want to say the Clash of Champions show, if I remember correctly, when they first when they first had the Fiend approach Seth Rollins.
Yeah, that's true. That's
like
true.
That.
That's true.
I remember a lot of people were like I remember a lot of people were just under the like ideal impression of like, why would you do this? Like, because it just felt like that character did not need any type of championships or anything. And then once you put somebody in that spell, once you put a character like that, pretending to speaking about the Fiend, once you put a character like that in that position, they got to eventually lose the title. And like, it's just like I felt like that was the mistake with that whole character, was like trying to make it too wrestler-y at some point. Like you got to keep, that's like a, no, but it's very rare, especially in this day, like where people are even willing to buy into anything supernatural, some shit like that. Like, and the fact that you had a certain percentage of people that were actually interested in this thing and they somehow fucked it up.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, and you know, along, like, I'm telling you, that match with Seth Rollins, that thing fucked up The Fiend. It fucked up Rollins.
Cause like, it did. Especially like, those stupid ass red lights.
And then they ended up, it's just dumb, bro. It was just, and I remember like they ended up putting the title on Bray like a couple weeks later in Saudi. I'm like, you know, if you're going to do this, just put the fucking title on them. And of course, they did that whole thing with the fucking the mallet. Some like this dumb, bro. Like it was like sometimes stuff, some of that stuff is just so overproduced and so like unnecessary. And I think it dampened a lot of the momentum that him and Seth Rollins had.
Yeah, that is true. And everything you said was 100% emoji. If I could just hit that right now, I would do it. But I mean, I honestly want Seth Rollins to keep, you know, with his annoying drippy Jesus, as I like to call him, or as I like to call him, these Sethy main, Seth, was his SR the Drip Main or something similar to, what was that rapper's name? OJ the Juice Man. That's, I kind of made, kind of mixed both of them. But yeah, I mean, agreed with you 100% on Seth Rollins. And we'll see what happens.
He said OJ the Juice Man.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, there's another highlight that I want to consider, and it is on a random episode of AEW Rampage, and it was the match between Wheeler Yuta and John Moxley. I mean, talk about a match that kind of built a performer in Wheeler Yuta. I mean, he bled throughout the entire match, and I think, you know, William Regal's, you know, Blackpool Club is doing great things, in my opinion, so far with Johnny Mox and Brian Danielson. And now Wheeler Yuta. I mean, it's, again, like, this is one of the best things. And I think what made AEW such a great, I mean, what makes a match for AEW in general, I mean, the matches that they, you know, help produce and book, whatever, is that they build new stars. I mean, if you remember a few years ago when Chris Jericho faced Jungle Boy, he's like, if you can beat me in like 10-20 seconds or whatever, you could, like, you know, like the winner could like last between Chris Jericho, who was the world title holder at that time, and it was Jungle Boy, and you know examples like that. And I think AEW is always good with building new stars within, sometimes even with, not even in, it doesn't even need to have like a 3-4 month kind of booking, just needs one more match. And I think this one is a great example of that. So I'm curious, like, have you, obviously you've seen the match, obviously, but like, what do you think about Wheeler Yuta in general, and whether like, whether it built him as like a prominent act on the AEW, you know, roster as a whole? Like, what do you think about this entire match and John Moxley and the William Regal and all the other stuff that happened throughout this match and whatever? So what do you think?
Yes. So the John Moxley with you, the match, definitely one of my favorites of the year so far. Like they beat the shit out of each other. That's like as best as I could put it.
Yeah.
I think Wheeler Yuta came out of it looking like a star, and it also proves that somebody doesn't have to be someone in order to come out of this looking like just the top level athlete or wrestler coming out of a loss and stuff like that. I think Wheeler fits best in Blackpool Combat Club, like even more so than Daniel Garcia would. I think with the thing with, like, I'm gonna go back to you to but the thing about Garcia is he has the like this like heel thing about him, like that makes him fit more in line with the Jericho Appreciation Society. Like he fits more in line with that, and he's more of like and I know they're doing the whole sports entertainment thing right now, but Garcia does have that, like he's a great wrestler. But he also has that entertaining aspect about him. Like he can be funny, like he can do all the like the little comedy.
He is extremely funny
like that, not being overly funny, but like He can tie that into his serious persona as well. But the thing about Willa Yuta is Willa Yuta has this like baby face, like likable thing about him. Like you just want to cheer him and stuff like that. And especially when you see like he was over there bleeding like hell with Mox, you know, taking him down. And then it's also not even just that. It's the sort of the matches that they had previously. Like the first one, Willa just got fucking squashed. Like Moxley got like destroyed this man. Like, and then the second one, he sort of showed like, I think it was the second one, I think he sort of showed like a little bit of fight, but Moxley still dominated him. And then like now this go around, he almost beat him. You know what I'm saying? And I think there will come a point where he will beat John Moxley. Like he's going to, and the crowd's going to go fucking crazy for that. But like, I think that they've done a real great job of like choosing who needs to be in the Blackpool Combat Club. And I'm glad it's not this thing where it's just like, hey, you're all with me. Like, it's like this gradual thing. And like, everybody's sort of anticipating who could be the next member, or will it even be a male member? Like, it might be a female member that to join the group. So I think that's a cool thing that they're doing. They're not rushing it. Like, their focus is on Willa Yuta right now. Like, I think that's probably the best thing that AEW and Tony Khan could do as far as the Blackpool Combat Club. Is like, don't just be like, hey, let's just get A, B, and C in here. Like, let's get A in here and then focus on him for however long we need to focus on him to make sure that they're established. And then you can either add a male or female and then bring them in and then focus on them for like a couple months and just make each of the new additions a focus of the story until you feel like they're fully established and they're right on par with Danielson and Moxley, and maybe not as, you know, popular, but maybe just a level below them. So they can like at least thrive on their own without Danielson and Mox or Regal. But I also like the thing of Regal coming out with Yuta now. I think that's really cool. Like, and I also like that they didn't make like Mox like come out with the rest of the crew. Like, he still does his own thing. And you know, you got but Regal coming out with Yuta, that's just like one of those small, like really good things that AEW does. Like, it's just a nice touch overall. And I'm excited to see like what's to come. I'm also excited to see the Willa Yuta as the ROH Pure Champion. So I'm also excited to see what Tony Khan is going to do with Ring of Honor. So, yeah, it's
true. Yeah, I mean,
it's going to be interesting. And also, we got Deonna Purrazzo coming up.
Yeah, it's true.
On Dynamite next week.
Speaking of like somebody who just elevated themselves from like here to like to the highest level. Is Deonna Purrazzo. I mean, she benefited during the pandemic kind of era of professional wrestling. So, yeah, I mean, if you think about this, and this is something I've thought about when William Regal showed up and, you know, he set up his Blackpool Combat Club. The people who are in NXT, whether it's the Undisputed Era right now with Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish, and you had 2.0, and then you have William Regal, like the mofos were used to be on the other side, you know, the other side of the quote unquote wrestling, the Wednesday Night Wars in NXT. And now like majority of the prominent acts on the Wednesday, quote unquote, the Wednesday Night Wars and now on AEW. That is something that not only has made me thought about, thought that it's like, damn, like NXT has kind of fell off, but also the fact that, damn, it feels like it's been like 5 years since that happened. Well, in fact, it just happened like a year ago. So it's like, yeah, it's something that I've thought about within like as soon as William Regal showed up at Revolution like a month ago. So, yeah, I mean, but nevertheless, they're doing great things with all the talent right now, especially since AEW's talent is getting a little bloated and doing a decent job in like utilizing, with the exception of the women's division, in my opinion. It's kind of, I mean, it has improved for a little bit, but then it hasn't, and then it has, and it hasn't. I don't know what's going on, but hopefully they're doing good.
Yeah, AEW's women's division, that's a topic that I've seen a lot of people talk about. The thing is, I do think AEW has a really, really good women's division, and I think that the core that they have, like, I don't even think you need to, like, I mean, of course you could add people, but I'm saying on the topic, just like, I don't really think you need to add people in order to make it good. Like, they have a good division. I think it's just a matter of making sure that they have more prominent spots. Like, I think you can continue to do stuff like that with, you know, I know people were sort of like, okay, they need to wrap it up. But like, I think that stuff like Sheeta and Dee needs to happen. Like, you need to have programs
outside of the title picture. That was a great match, by the way.
Like, exactly. You need to have things going on outside of the title picture. Like, and I think that stuff like that needs to continue happening. Like, You know, I'm not necessarily invested in Paige VanZant and Ty Conti, but I mean, it's there, and it's
yeah.
pretty sure it's gonna happen at Double or Nothing. Probably gonna be Sammy and Tay versus Scorpio and Paige. That's probably gonna be something that's gonna happen at some point down the line, or at Double or Nothing. Like and you know, you got talents like Ruby Soho. Like I'm like, instead of like, I know they're building to it, and you know, probably into a tag match, or you know, they're probably just waiting until, you know, the Owen Hart you know, the women's side of the Owen Hart is the women's side of the Owen Hart Foundation tournament is filled out. Yeah. But like I would like to see, instead of like doing like these just interview segments, like where they just dig into each other, you know, how about just, hey, about we take some of that time and carve a little bit out and like send them out there and just have a match. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause I mean, they're going to end up clashing anyway. So you might as well just do something with them or get the tag match going. So, and I mean, the AEW, they do have like, but one thing I will say, I really do like what they're doing with Jade Cargill. Like she's
true.
Has like literally become a, like a fucking star.
Red Velvet, especially with the heel group and stuff.
Yeah. Like I ain't gonna lie. I kind of didn't get like Red Velvet joining. I feel like her and Jade should have been like rivals from the jump. Like, I mean, but I mean, I feel like her and Jay should be rivals, like, you know, for as long as AEW is, for as long as AEW is gonna go. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I feel like if you were to maybe consider anyone to maybe BJ or in that streak, not now, not anytime now, but like I'm talking about like maybe later down the line or some shit like that, or next year or whatever, I would feel like because of her and Velvet's rivalry, it would do Velvet a lot of good to get that one over Jade, and especially because I think Jade's beat her twice already, or beat her three times already. It'd been nice for Velvet to get that one over Jade so she can say she was the one, and I think that would be a way to further continue their rivalry and stuff like that. But that's just an idea, but not anytime now. But Jade is to like literally become like a fucking like big star.
Yeah,
she's I think she's gonna bring in a lot of eyes. Like you got this like strong, prominent Black woman on TV. Like she looks great, she's improving in the ring, you know what I'm saying? So like I think that they got money with Jade Cargill. So and like I like the addition of Toni Storm as well. I think that's a very great pickup. I'm interested like to see her and Jamie Hayter. I know they're gonna meet in the first round. So like I do think that AEW, man, they have a good women's division, bro. It's just a matter of like I see it's sort of difficult to say, because like when you in that position, as far as like putting these shows together, like I never put a fucking wrestling show together, but I think it's just a matter of like making sure that you properly allocate that time to your women's division on television outside of maybe outside of like the Dark and Dark Elevation. And but I mean, there's nothing wrong with Dark and Dark Elevation though. Like I know a lot of people sort of like to make jokes about it and shit like that. But like I think it's AEWA because like like the thing about Dark and Dark Elevation is it is used to further propel the records of your signed talent.
Yes.
And also to bring in some talent from the independent scene to sort of break out or have like those shining moments in hopes of possibly getting signed. Like this Friday today on Rampage, as we're recording this on April 29th, it's going to be Jay Cargill, Kiera, and Red Velvet versus Sky Blue. Trish fucking Adore, which is great. Great to see her on Rampage, and Willow Nightingale. Willow Nightingale's fucking getting like big reactions on TV when she made her Rampage debut a couple weeks ago. So like those are two talents I would add to the women's division, Willow and Trish. So I mean, like the AEW, bro, when you look at their women's division, who they bringing in, bro, they have a really good women's division. It's just about allocating that time and making sure that you put them in prominent positions in the same way as you do the men. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I feel like with an example like that, what I just mentioned with the match, they doing that. So it's just a matter of like, you just got to watch the shit.
Yeah, true. I mean, you mentioned the Owen Hart Foundation tournament, and speaking of which, that is a great transition for the third and final highlight
in the
month of April. And that is a match that just happened 2 days ago, actually. And that is Drax Harwood and versus Cash Wheeler on AEW Dynamite that happened, like I said, 2 days ago. And look, this match, the thing that made this match so great, it reminded me of, and I think you're going to love this a lot because I'm going to mention this. This kind of reminds me of when Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa split up for, you know, the Cruiserweight Classic. So So for but for that one match, I mean, it later turned out to be like a rivalry that happened like a month, not even a month, like a year later, a year or so later. But I mean, for what I've seen so far, I mean, it's not only a great match. The thing I love about this match was that you didn't have like a separate entrance. Like both guys showed up at the same time, which shows
that
how
was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. It goes to show you how much they love and appreciated each other. Even go watch their road to the AEW Dynamite before the match even happened. It told about how they loved they appreciated each other, how they've been each other for quite some time, like a very long time. And I think the story kind of validated the match itself. It made the match even as a fan made the match in what worth more investing, in my opinion. So yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic match and a great way to open the show. You know, I mean, I mean, it's better than, you know, the two baby faces showing up and getting beat up by the heels, and then the baby faces show up again, like how AEW usually does. You know, that's becoming more of a cliche at some point. But you know, I think this is a great way to open the show. And so let me ask you, Andrew, what do you think about the match itself? And does it kind of remind you of when Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa split up for like that Cruiserweight Classic match or not? Like, what do you think about the match itself?
So I thought Dax and Cash had a really good match. You know, of course, they played a lot off Brandon Owen. You know, they did a lot of stuff. I think a couple of things that were in that, I think it was that WrestleMania 10?
Yes.
WrestleMania 10 match that Brandon Owen had. So. Like, I thought it was a good match, bro. They went out there, and it was a good way to open the show. I think a lot of people were invested in it. I think when you have a story like that, I don't think the match needs to be like this, like, fucking just off-the-wall banger in order for it to be great. I think that you can just tell a very simple story, and the match can still be great. And I think it's just a story overall that I'm talking about as far as FTR goes. And, of course, that, you know, that video package that they put in the Road 2 show only added to that. So, like, I've always liked when – teams or two members of the team can have a singles match and it just be like, you know, hey, fair play, you got one on me.
Should have happened to Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston back in the the King of the Ring tournament, but that didn't happen, unfortunately.
That was actually a really great time to do some shit like that. Like, that would have been very, very cool. And I'm pretty sure Kofi would have had no problem at all making sure Xavier got his big win.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it's like these types of things can be done. Like it's like I think just as far as like because WWE has been our primary source for pro wrestling for so long, like in the only source as far as mainstream or not even mainstream televised products on a prominent level. Like they've been like our primary source for so long. So now that we have All Elite Wrestling on like on the other end, like now it's like we sort of. Things are sort of changing things have been changing already changing as far as like what we think the norm is for certain things in pro wrestling as far as like televised product goes and like what you would expect and what you shouldn't expect. Like I remember when the rumor was coming in about CM Punk, like people was like so used to what had been done in the past, like this thing being teased and then it like end up being like some fake out or some like shit going to go like, and then you know, we just straight up got CM Punk. You know what I'm saying? Well, like, not even I would say the past year or last 2 years.
True. So yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, it was a pretty good match.
As far as like we think it's the norm in,
yeah,
televised pro wrestling product, and
yeah. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, again, like it's a great match and did a lot of things for it. And let me ask you this. You've said that you want to see more of this. Do you want to see more like the unusual kind of storylines with WWE, whether it's like, you know, two tag teams feuding for the championship or, you know, less of the, you know, I'm going to betray you because I'm jealous kind of thing. Like, what do you see about the tag teams, especially like tag team, like storylines in general? Do you think it's getting a little stale? In terms of like, you know, I'm jealous of you, so I'm going to break you up. Or like, what do you want to see for more tag teams in terms of story? Do you want to see like more unique stuff, more, you know, I don't mind the cliche as long as the cliche fits in well with the narrative kind of thing. So what do you think about the tag team as a whole?
As far as WWE goes, like, I'm just tired of seeing like the constant fucking rematches between the same teams, same fucking three teams, same five teams. Like, I'm like, dude, I feel like if WWE, I mean, but I don't need WWE that, because I mean, we got different different pro wrestling products. They do. They want to do, but I mean, versus the Usos, and the scene, like, it seemed like they run it like a lot of these tag matches down the hole. So either you need to call some teams up from NXT 2.0 and get the ball rolling with them, and just like throw them in the water and be like, bro, y'all gonna sink or swim, or like they need to. I mean, but I also think that's why they're unifying the tag titles. So like both, so it could be one team. And they can hit both brands, and that way you don't burn through all these matches that like they have burned through already. So I think that's so, like, in the grand scheme of it, I think that combining it that titles is we're probably still get fucker, but it won't be as consistent as it usually is. And then AEW, as far as the tag team division goes, man, like they like a Jungle Boy Lucha. So it's, I think they have a they're having a good run of. Decent run, I should say. Team might be taking titles off and shit. I wouldn't be, I'll be honest with you. They got hella momentum.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be mad if it's Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly to take the titles off. I wouldn't be mad if it was the Young Bucks to take the titles off. But I wouldn't be mad if it was the acclaim that did. I like Max Taz and that. Or Powwows Hobbs and the Impact tapes, but they showed up on last night's show, and then they're gonna be challenging for the tag titles at Under Siege next Saturday. So yeah, and I like what's up? I ain't gonna lie, I really do like the team of Brian Myers and Matt Cardona. Like, I feel like Cardona's like fucking, he came out of WWE and this motherfucker just like took off. Like, yeah, he's doing like everything.
Yeah,
and like he's
pulling off the Durag, you know, Durag especially.
Yeah. He Matt Cardona is having his way with a lot of stuff right now. So it's very cool to see somebody come out of WWE and just like fucking just take off. So, but I really do like the team of the major players in Impact, along with having Chelsea Green in there. I think that's cool. So, yeah. And even the good, you know, they got the Good Brothers over there and stuff like that as well. So yeah, man, like I think that there's a lot of good stuff going on in tag wrestling. You know, it's a, like on the indies, I don't know if you've seen them yet, but they've been on AEW Dark a couple times. Waves and Curls on the independent scene, they're fucking hilarious, bro. Like they're good wrestlers too, but I'm talking about they're a very funny team. It's cool to see them on that spot. So your tag wrestling is a good space right now, man. Except for like WWE, they need to stop doing these fucking rematches.
Yeah, but like you're talking about the tag team and the unification. I mean, is it really though? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised within like the next 3 months, they're just going to go back to what they did like a year ago or something. I don't know. Or even the WWE and Universal Championship, you know, like just go back to the way it was like a few months ago, even.
Like, I think, as far as the tag titles go, I do think it's going to be a good one, because now you just have one team solely holding the titles. And also that means one last match that they got to like do like some like lackluster ass build to. So now we just get like one title or you know, one team that's holding the titles. And I think also within that, like, now we don't have to see, like, again, the same teams on Raw or the same teams on SmackDown, like constantly going after each other. But now you can sort of mix it up a little bit and like do some different shit. Like, I think it's a positive thing, because like it just avoids the whole continuously let's seeing the same teams on Raw, seeing the same teams on SmackDown. I think it just changes something different. As far as the Universal and WWE titles go, I think that somebody is going to take one of those titles off Roman Reigns, probably the WWE title. It's probably gonna be fucking Cody, to be honest with you. Yeah. Like, if I can see somebody that's probably gonna do it. I don't know how they go about that. That remains to be seen. But they do got like three fucking stadium shows, like 3 months in a row. They got Money in the Bank, they got SummerSlam, and then they got the UK show at Principality Stadium,
which I'm very looking forward to, by the way.
Yeah, that shit is about to be rocking. Like, that is going to be a fun show.
I do agree with you on the state of the tag team division going on, but yeah, that's pretty much my notes and my notes around here. So what do you want to add to the conversation in the month of April? Like, what are some of the best highlights that people should, you know, look into when it comes to professional wrestling, especially when it comes to like the independent scene going on? Like, what people do you think that should like look into when it comes to pro wrestling the month of April that people hasn't, not a lot of people look into basically?
So I think a lot of people should check out this show on IWTV called The Masked Wrestler. Mm-hmm. That's like one of the coolest shows. Like they take like a couple wrestlers from the independent scene and they like put them in like full blown body suits and ask them to change their moveset. So like the judges don't guess who it is, yeah. Like or don't guess correctly. But like it's like one of the coolest concepts. I think this is season two. They're on right now. Season one was great as well. Like it was just something so different. So I just really enjoyed it. I definitely have recommend people like start looking into AC Mack. He's the current IWTV world champ, and he won the title against Alex Shelley at the Southeast First Show Action Wrestling, and that was like that crowd was so fucking amped up for AC Mack because he's their hometown, but well, he is from Georgia, but like that's their home promotion guy. So like they was like they booed the shit out of Alex Shelley. It was kind of cool seeing like them fully back AC back like that. Of course, you know, you got your GCWs. I really like Black Label Pro promotion. You can check all this stuff on IWTV's streaming service. Like it was a Black Label Pro show back in February and Anthony Green in a mixed match. And it was a really good match. I enjoyed it. Yeah, thoroughly enjoy it. Like I think some people might not. I'm at a lot of different promotions, you know. And then if you just want to get your start, I mean, shit. I think the easiest one to be sort of dive into is GCW. Like I think Blake Christian, he's been doing this like call out for Johnny Gargano for like a couple weeks, and I think at this point it's probably a lot that is going to happen because I don't think he would just be like he calling out Gargano like this if he didn't think that or if he didn't know that something was going to happen. So I definitely think that probably Johnny Gargano's first like wrestling experience with the GCW, and he's probably going to end up facing Blake Christian, and they probably going to like knock that shit out the park. So yeah, man, it's a lot of cool stuff going on right now. It's so many different fucking promotions going on. Like, yeah. And also go check out that Black Girl Magic show that's happening. I think they're doing it in Brooklyn, New York. I can't remember the exact date, but yeah, go check that out, man. It's so much different cool stuff, man. Fight Club that's here in my area, they doing some good work. We check out their stuff on IWTV. That's the belt, the beautiful belt that Trisha Dora has, the Pan African World Diaspora title. Amazing belt, beautiful belt. So yeah, man, it's a lot of cool stuff going on, a lot of great stuff. So go check all that out and just go immerse yourself in it.
Well, unfortunately, I cannot, you know, put in, I mean, I can't like say anything about, you know, what people should look into when it comes to like pro wrestling the month of it or any other month, because I am a WWE shill, unfortunately, and I'm tired as hell. That is true. That is true. So what can all my three viewers look into when it comes to your work and stuff, or where people can find you on Twitter? I mean, on Twitter and your, you know, post news updates, which I look into every time I go to my 5 Newsweek, which by the way, you can check out at playonwrestlingpost.blogspot.com, which by the way, I need a domain name at some point. Fuck me. Anyways, what people can look you up on the socials and stuff.
Yeah, you got to stop selling yourself short, Omar. You do some great work, bro. But everybody can check me out on Twitter at @adthompson__. The same thing on Instagram as well. You know, I just post my work on social media sites, so you can check out all that stuff. And you know, they can check out my written work over at postwrestling.com. They can see all my interviews at Andrew Thompson Interviews. Like I put up, you know, of course, full length interviews, and then I put up isolated clips as well from past stuff. So yeah, go check those. I got some stuff up there. I think I put up a clip not too long ago with Roxanne Perez, formerly known as Roxy. So you can check her out. Check that clip out on my YouTube channel. And I just put up another one, Nick Wayne. I got another one coming out next week with Michael Oku, the OJMO. So Yeah, go check those stuff out, man, and go subscribe to the channel. I'm almost at 1,000. Almost.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been stuck at like 800 something for like a while now. So all my 5 viewers should go and subscribe. Just contribute to the subscription, bro. Just go do it. You can find me on Twitter at Omar the Player Guy. Which, by the way, speaking of subscribers or followers, I've been like 260 followers for like quite some time. If I could reach like 261 point something, I could. That would be very. That would. Pretty cool with me. Oh, you can check out my site at Playout Wrestling podcast.blogspot.com, and you can find all the articles over there, which, by the way, I should, my piece on Naomi should be up on Monday or Wednesday, depending on my schedule. So yeah, that's pretty much it. So take care, guys. Stay safe, Smarks, and we out.